turn it off now? You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank God it's Friday!
Light it up, baby!
Hey!
Hi, this is Evander Holyfield, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Randy's on the sports scene, he's working all the time. Brings you all the scores you need, so get him on the line. Pick up the phone and call him now and say what's on your mind. They should pay him double, cause he's working overtime.
This is Evander Holyfield.
Jim Palmer,
Tony Fernandez, Hardy Nickerson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy.
This is Dale Murphy.
My two men, Randy Savage.
Ray Nitschke.
Chris Evert.
George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy Harris. I don't think he believes it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's very important you don't stink today.
The Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Good Friday afternoon, everybody. It is February 12th, just a couple days before Valentine's Day. Hope everybody has had a good week so far, and hope you go take your honey out this weekend and have a good time. This is Wegs here in studio. Randy is otherwise occupied, as per his usual, if you're hearing my voice this time. Instead of traveling and jet-setting, usually with the UFC or something along those lines, this time he's staying a little bit closer to home at the Toby Hall Charity Golf Tournament today. So he's out on the links with Toby and the gang and raising money for a good cause, and you're stuck with me. So that being said, 866-826-1340, 866-TAN-1340. Plenty to get to, as we always do every single week. And I want to kick off the show sort of on a low note, just so that we can go up from here and end on a positive note at 1:45. We will have Tampa Bay Rowdies head coach Stuart Campbell. So we will welcome him to the show and get into our second episode with our Rowdies Minute. So we'll talk to him later on in the show. But first, a big surprise from last night is actually the passing of former UFC heavyweight champion Kevin Randleman. He was in San Diego and was admitted to the hospital with pneumonia and suffered heart failure while he was there. He was 44 years old, so very, very young to be succumbing to this infection that happened, basically, and really a shock to the MMA world, to a lesser extent, the wrestling world, the pro wrestling world. Really mainly known for, again, being a former UFC heavyweight champion. Back in the day, he was fighting in the UFC back early 2000s, even into 99. So while he was there, he went 4-3, but he did win the heavyweight title. It was vacant, and he fought Pete Williams to win the championship. Fought top names like Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, Pedro Hizo, even Boss Rutten. So some big names for the big name. And then after that, he went over to Pride and established himself over there. So certainly a tragedy for the MMA community. And we can get to a little bit more exciting things. As I mentioned, the Toby Hall Charity Golf Tournament that's going on. Randy is out at it, and as per his usual, making sure he takes a little time away to spend some time with us. So, Randy, how are you doing today?
Hey, what's going on? I don't know what bothers me more, the fact that I heard Chris say to you on air twice that I was on hold, or the fact that you blew it off and didn't care.
I was just trying to find a good segue.
But, yeah, I'm out at the Toby Hall Foundation Celebrity Golf Tournament. It's out here at Feather Sound. We just kicked it off. We're 14 under after three holes.
So that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, we are phenomenal. And Tiger didn't show. And we're still, kicking ass and taking names. So, you know, a lot of good things going on here. Toby's been doing this for quite some time. Quite a few awesome celebrities are out here as well. We're going to go live on Facebook shortly. So if anybody wants to catch the Facebook feed, just get to my Facebook account. And a lot of things to talk about this weekend. And starting with, I know you're going to have the Tampa Bay Rowdies, I almost said Mutiny, head coach on at 1:45.
Yep.
But Sean is going to be out there covering the game that, I get sidetracked, covering the game tomorrow. So real quick, we're going to start a new segment. I'm going to turn the mic over to Sean, KO Radio, who'll be covering the Rowdies tomorrow.
Good afternoon, Wags. How you doing?
Doing amazing. I'm sitting in here in the studio in the room with no windows, and you guys are enjoying the nice sunny links right now. So that's how my day's going.
About 72 degrees, clear skies by a pond with a nice John Daly in my hand. I can't complain. But just wanted to let everybody know the Tampa Bay Rowdies will be playing tomorrow at I believe it's Al Lang Stadium, or they've changed the name, Progress Energy Field, something like that. 7:00. Against the MLS's DC United, which is also Freddie Adu's first team that he ever played for, who is now a member of the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Little history there.
Yeah, throwing a little tidbit. But Randy is on the tee right now, so I will throw it back to you. And now this is your show, sir.
Gotcha. Sounds good. Thank you very much for the update. And make sure that you try to get that tee shot on live on Facebook, because it's a rare occurrence for him to actually take his tee shot.
That is very true, so I need to hang up now to get it.
All righty, sounds good. Thank you very much. Reporting in from the hardship tour that is known as the Toby Hall Charity Golf Tournament. As Sean mentioned, the DC United MLS team is in town, and this is actually a neat situation they have going on for this preseason. There's a preseason tournament bringing in six MLS teams. If you listened to last week's episode, you heard us talk with assistant GM Perry Vanderbeck about it. We have DC United and the Rowdies going tonight. That game is at 7:00 at Al Lang Stadium. You can still buy tickets, of course. And then for the rest of the preseason, the next couple weeks, all the games are on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and they're double headers. So the first game typically starts at 4, second game starting at 7:00. Next week, Wednesday, we have Philadelphia Union playing DC United for the 4:00 game, followed by the Montreal Impact versus the New York City FC at 7:00. That's a big game because we have one of the benefits of having these teams in town is we get to see some superstar names we don't typically get to see unless you travel. Now that Orlando has their MLS team, you have to travel over there. But a lot closer to get to see somebody like Didier Drogba, one of the top strikers in the game, in the world right now, playing for the Montreal Impact against New York City FC, also a new team to the MLS. They were the other expansion team that came in with Orlando, with David Villa, Mixed Discarud from the U.S. national team as well. So big things happening next week, Wednesday. We have Montreal versus D.C. next Saturday at 4:00, followed by the Rowdies playing Philadelphia Union next Saturday as well at 7:00. So the Rowdies are always playing on Saturday night at 7:00. Again, this week is DC United, next week is Philadelphia, and then the 27th is Montreal Impact. So, and then the last game of the preseason is going to be actually against the University of South Florida. So that would, and that's going to be up in Tampa, on the University of South Florida campus. So get to have a little bit of a road trip for that one. But again, we will talk much more about this at 1:45 once we get head coach Stuart Campbell on the line. Man, we're already almost up to the break, so let's hit just one or two more things before we hit this upcoming break. Can you believe it? We are already talking about spring training for the Rays. Not too active as per their usual in the offseason, but they did make some moves. They traded McGee to get Dickerson from Colorado. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how everything's going to play out there. Dickerson, Pierce, and Conger are coming in. Pierce is a outfielder, first baseman slash DH who came in as a free agent. Signed him about 3 weeks ago. Didn't have the best year last year in 2015. He did spend some time injured with an oblique strain, so we'll see how he's been able to heal up in the offseason from that, and whether his ability to play multiple positions will be quite as handy as Zobrist. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. It's going to be hard to try to fill in the utility role quite like Zobrist did. Still, to me, a completely underrated player, but it is what it is. Hank Conger also coming in as a catcher from the Astros, came over for cash. So it's an interesting situation with the catcher position. There's a lot of them. So depth is not an issue. It's just going to be a matter of trying to get the most out of a deep but not all that impressive, dare I say, catching staff. The hitting has not been exactly their strong suit, obviously, going with small ball and money ball type situations. We're looking a lot of defensive type catchers back there. When Molina was here, that was obviously one of his saving graces is how good of a defensive catcher he was. So, yeah, not too excited about that. We'll see how that goes. Again, we have the pitchers and catchers reporting. We're going to have the beginning of spring training happening in just a few short weeks once March kicks around. This year's already going by so fast. It seems like the baseball season had just ended last month, and we're already talking about everybody showing up and getting ready for the new one. But the good news is, even though the Rays were approved by the St. Pete City Council to go out and start looking for other stadiums around the area, good news is that for the weekdays, there will be specials the Rays are running to make it a little bit more affordable for everybody to go to home games. So I'll run through those real quick. On Monday, it's actually free tickets for military. Last year, towards the end of the season, to draw in more people, they did something called the Rays Honor Pass, which allowed military personnel, either active, retired, or honorably discharged, to go onto the website id.me, and that's a third-party verification service. You put in your information. They basically find your information for your DD-214, if you're military, you know what that is. And through that program, you were allowed to show up, show your ID, and get two free tickets. Now, this is going to be throughout the entire season on Mondays, and it's going to also extend to the dependents of military personnel, including any spouse, child, and widow slash widower. So the way I see it is, if you're active duty, if you're a married man in the military, you'd be able to get a ticket for two tickets, one for you and one for your kid. It extends to your spouse, and they would be able to get two tickets as well. That's the way I understand it. So there's a possibility that a family of four could get in for free. So keep that in mind. Tuesday is $2 for kids' tickets. Tickets are for kids 14 and under are $2 with the purchase of a full-priced adult ticket. Wednesday, hot dog day, $2 for hot dogs. Thursday senior special. Fans 60 years of age or older are only $15. And then Friday for the students, the student rush. Students 18 and over with a valid high school or college ID can purchase tickets for $15. So a little bit cheaper. It'll be during those weekdays, and there's going to be additional days. I think they said there's 8 extra days throughout the season. Or excuse me, that's specifically for military. 8 additional bonus dates throughout the season. So with that said, we are a third of the way through today's episode. So let's pay some bills and stick with us. This is Talking Sports.
You've seen Rugged Maniac on Shark Tank. You've heard us talk about Rugged Maniac last year. And now Rugged Maniac will be returning to the Tampa Bay area on April 23rd. Rugged Maniac is the epic party, and I know as I ran the Rugged Maniac last year, and we'll be doing it again on April 23rd. With 25 epic obstacles and a 3-mile course that makes this the ultimate event that you'll love and continue to ask for more. You can run individually or as part of a team, and both are a ton of fun. With the lowest prices and the most obstacles, it's easy to see why Rugged Maniac has become America's favorite obstacle race. Don't delay and sign up today. Go to ruggedmaniac.com for more details and easy to follow instructions on signing up.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times, and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number 1 in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card. Just $25 for Florida residents, and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
I'd like to welcome Tampa Arms Company to the Talking Sports and the Players Show family. Tampa Arms Company provides it all, from training classes for pistol, rifles, and shotguns, as well as the concealed carry classes, to AR-15 build classes. That's where you'll learn to build your very own AR-15, and at the end of the class, you keep the rifle. Online ordering is available with over $1 billion in firearms and accessories at TampaArmsCompany.com. Classes free trust, and products are also available at Tampa Arms Company. Check them out today at TampaArmsCompany.com. Springfield, Glock, Century Arms, Remington, Smith & Wesson, plus much, much more. And no limits of ammo. If it's in stock, buy the quantities you want. That's Tampa Arms Company.
At Torta Pizza, we pride ourselves on making delicious, healthy food at an affordable price. Signature pizzas, fresh salads, hearty subs, and calzones. Torta Pizza has it all and offers dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service. Torta Pizza is located on 4th Street in St. Petersburg. So give them a call today, 727-895-5555. 727-895-5555. You'll be glad you did.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Hey, this is Bernie Williams from the Yankees, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Welcome back to Talking Sports. That was Bernie Williams bringing us back. If you're hearing my voice, that means you're sticking with us from the first segment. Greatly appreciated. And as your reward, we're going to be giving away some tickets for an event next weekend at the Amalie Arena called the AmSoil AX Arena Cross. The event is February 20th and the 21st. We have tickets for the 21st. That's next Saturday. Saturday. Which one do we have? We have Saturday, the 20th. That one. That's 7 o'clock. So... Gonna have a giveaway based on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, log into Facebook, go to knockoutradio.com. Really easy. All you have to do is send us a message, say, I want the Arena Cross tickets, Amalie Arena, Motocross, anything along those lines. Does not have to be very specific. Just tell us that you want to go to the event next Saturday, February 20th, the Amsoil Arena Cross at Amalie Arena. That's 7 o'clock. And let us know. I'm not even going to put an end date. Up until that date, you can register for the tickets. So that means you have some time, but don't wait because we may give them away before then. So make sure you get to the Facebook page for Knockout Radio. That's just knockoutradio.com. And easy cheesy, you don't have to worry about anything else. So, football, we haven't even had a chance yet to talk about the Super Bowl, so I guess now we should. That was, that was pretty bad. I didn't like it. I couldn't care less for who won. We talked about, yes, I know, I tend to be favoring Auburn alum, Cam Newton, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people are hating on Cam Newton, not only for his play, but for him walking out of the press conference afterward. Something that was brought up actually on our Wednesday night show, Knockout Radio, which we have up on our SoundCloud, on the website, knockoutradio.com, on iTunes, any of the above. Go check it out. Talking about, I guess, where Cam was sitting being interviewed and for that press conference, on the other side of the barrier behind him was actually a Broncos defensive player. I'm not sure who, but he was sitting over there, and they were talking. I'm sorry?
Chris Harris.
It was Harris. There we go. Thank you. Who was talking about Cam, and I guess they were ragging on him. And you talk about not only having to deal with the fact that he did not play well, with the fact that he was facing these questions about what had just happened, and then on top of that, you have a defensive player that was pretty much laying into you with his questions and answers, and he just walked away. He couldn't handle it. And a lot of people I don't want to say a lot of people, but I know that that sort of adds a little bit to it, in the sense that it's not just Joe Schmo who's talking crap. This is a player who just got done beating on him, and with everything piling up, he just couldn't handle it. It sounds like they're trying to say that somehow negates the fact that he should be able to take criticism. I mean, he is in a position of great scrutiny all the time, not only during the season but off season as well. The MVP, just being a professional player, and he sort of acted like a child. That's a lot of the feedback that I've heard, and honestly, I have to agree. It's not like he's in a position where he gets to choose what people say about him. He knows he's a polarizing figure. Hell, he's been a polarizing figure since freshman year of college. So he's been basically under the microscope for his entire meaningful football career, and he needs to be able to handle stuff like this. It is what it is. I mean, we're at a point where you have to move on, and he can't go back and change it. He came out the next day or two and sort of apologized, but also the quote that gets kicked around a lot is when he said, if you show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. Well, he's not wrong, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a good loser or a bad loser. And he's stated that he's a bad loser. It doesn't matter if you're a good or bad loser, you are still a loser. I got it. But if you are in that position where there is a lot of scrutiny, regardless of you're a good loser, a bad loser, a good winner, or a bad winner, you're still going to get scrutinized for anything you do. And obviously, his reaction to the questions, to the criticism, was not good for his image. And I'm sure the Panthers organization, even though Coach Rivera did sort of have his back, he also said that that probably was not the way he should have gone about things. Yeah, that's something they don't like seeing, and I can only imagine what the PR people were saying behind closed doors when they first saw that he had gotten up in the middle of the press conference and walked out. So it is what it is. We move on. There's now the question about what Peyton is going to do. I think you cannot, and a lot of people don't like this phrase, but you cannot write this script any better. You couldn't script this how it was Peyton's 200th win overall. He gets his second Super Bowl ring, go out in style. I think he should retire. There's no sense in my mind, there's no sense in keeping on his career. I don't think in this position he really has anything to prove. He has two Super Bowls. A lot of the players out there would be plenty happy with one. And there's no question with what he's done with his body of work, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So putting this all together, there's no sense in risking his health, which is definitely questionable every single year, and it's not getting any better. And this is just taking out the HGH allegations. He just, time to hang it up. He can go and be an owner, part owner of a team. I think somebody said that I heard somewhere he's potentially going to be a part owner of the Titans. Good fit, obviously being a Tennessee boy, going to UT out there, and right off into the sunset. Go buy yourself a couple more Papa John's franchises. Enjoy life. But we have to look a little bit closer in now because this is Bucks country, so we get to shout out that we have the 2015 Pepsi Rookie of the Year in Jameis Winston. I want to know what people think, how many people out there thought that he was going to have a good season, much less be the Rookie of the Year. I will continue to say, because this is, I'm on record saying it, you can go back to past shows and hear what I said. I said at the beginning of the season, actually before the draft, there are three options the Bucks could take. Not saying that any of them was going to be a bad choice per se, but ranking them in order, I thought that the best option at the time was going to be to trade away the overall first pick, get more picks, and shore up the offensive line. The second pick, the second best opportunity for the Bucks was going to be to take Mariota, and then the third best was going to be Jameis. And obviously, he was a good choice. Obviously, started off shaky and got better throughout the season, but I don't know if anybody really thought that he had a shot at being Rookie of the Year. And there were some other players that sort of gave him a run for his money, between Amari Cooper, Todd Gurley, Tyler Lockett. I think Marcus Peters was also a finalist. But good for the Bucks. Now it's all about building from there, working with Coach Cutter, and trying to make everything still click for the offense. But there are other things that the Bucks need to worry about. And I guess everybody's saying that it's defense right now. The cornerback from Florida. Why can I not think of his name? I'm completely blanking right now.
Treon Harris?
No, the corner. Treon Harris was the quarterback, right? Hargraves, thank you. I knew it started with an H. Vernon Hargraves is the name on a lot of people's tongues, obviously not mine because I was blanking. I've also heard about DeForest Buckner from Oregon. There's Joey Bosa from Ohio State, off also a defensive lineman. Jaylon Smith from Notre Dame. He's a linebacker. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. A linebacker. They are. The depth is okay there. It's more the secondary they have to worry about. So, Hargraves, there's also a safety out of West Virginia, Carl Joseph. He's possibly up there as a choice, maybe not first round, possibly second round. He did have 5 interceptions in his first 4 games last year. But he is coming off of a season-ending knee injury, so it's something that should be looked at, but secondary is a bigger concern to address right now. Offense, I don't know. Chris, what's your thoughts on messing with the offense? 'Cause things, even though on paper they might not have looked all the best, obviously offensive line was the biggest question heading into last season, but they performed, they did well. Is this something that you try to add and shake things up to try to improve, or is this a keep it like you have it type deal? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I don't think they need to fix much. I think the two things that I would look at, first and foremost, is re-signing Doug Martin, or if you're not going to re-sign Doug Martin, then certainly finding someone to fit in, because that's going to be a big void if they decide they don't want to re-sign him, and you're not going to replace him right away in the draft, I don't believe.
And yeah, there's no way you can, because his capabilities, I mean, as long as he's been healthy, he's been gold.
Yeah, so, I mean, he had those 2 seasons where he was banged up. But, yeah. His rookie year and then last year are his 2 best years, and he was healthy throughout the year.
Yeah, so as long as he's been able to be let loose, I'll put it that way, because even last year, and Ed talked about this a lot, was the fact that he would have the first half, and then he'd be all but benched for the second half. So...
yeah, and that situation was really weird. I almost wonder if they were doing it to try to maybe not show him off as much, because they want to re-sign him and they were worried that if he, you know,
did too well, they wouldn't be able to afford him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's sad to think that way, especially when you're a team that has been losing for so long. All sure. You really want to do is win. And then the other thing, too, aside from Doug Martin, the only other thing that I would look at in the offense is a true slot receiver or a number 2 receiver, because Vincent Jackson's knee injury is concerning, and he's not getting any younger. So I think they might need to look at potentially bringing in a receiver. If they're not going to find one in free agency, then maybe spending their second-round pick on a receiver, or, you know, their third-round pick. But I certainly do agree with you. I think they need to go defense in the first round, and maybe even defense in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah, it's something that obviously we have a lot of time to discuss this back and forth. Coaches aren't allowed to talk to the players yet. We have a while before any sort of off-season stuff is able to happen, but I'm sure a lot of individual video watching is going to be done of some of these top prospects. Again, going back to Hargraves, he fits the need, and it's always good, in my opinion, to bring local talent. I mean, he's up at Florida, up at Gainesville, and especially, again, going back to the team that hasn't been doing quite that well numbers-wise, making sure that you reinvigorate the fan base every single season and give them something to cheer for. Obviously, Florida State growing Winston like they did and him coming here, a lot of people were on the Winston bandwagon before he even stepped on the field. I think that we can have sort of the same response with bringing Hargraves down from Gainesville. and bringing his followership down here. Always good to fill up Ray J. So with that said, we are starting to get closer on time. We'll hit this second break, and coming back just a few minutes after we come back, we'll be welcoming head coach from the Tampa Bay Rowdies, Stuart Campbell, to the program. So hang with us. This is Talking Sports.
Split ends? Thanks to Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon, the whole Talking Sports team can say,
we look marvelous. Fabulous.
Split End Salon is a family hair salon with affordable prices and conveniently located at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park. Sarah, the colorist and style director, can do it all. And if Mick can make me look good, then you know he's a miracle worker. So give Got Split Ends a call today at 727-481-8605.
Isn't it time you felt the luxury in your massage experience without the expensive prices? Choose to invest in a healthier state of mind with Massage Lux. Visit our North Tampa location or our West Chase location opening soon to receive your first massage for only $38. Massage Lux is known for our highly trained massage therapists who focus on your needs. Plus, Massage Lux also offers facials, skincare products, and waxing services. So what are you waiting for? Experience the luxurious lifestyle you deserve at an affordable price. For more information, visit us at massagelux.com or call 813-681-2232 to schedule your appointment today.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Ale Mabry in Tampa.
I'd like to welcome Tampa Arms Company to the Talking Sports and the Players Show family. Tampa Arms Company provides it all, from training classes for pistol, rifles, and shotguns, as well as the concealed carry classes, to AR-15 build classes. That's where you'll learn to build your very own AR-15, and at the end of the class, you keep the rifle. Online ordering is available with over $1 billion in firearms and accessories at TampaArmsCompany.com. Classes free trust, and products are also available at Tampa Arms Company. Check them out today at TampaArmsCompany.com. Springfield, Glock, Century Arms, Remington, Smith & Wesson, plus much, much more. And no limits of ammo. If it's in stock, buy the quantities you want. That's Tampa Arms Company.
This is Toby Hoff, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Welcome back to Talking Sports. This is Weggs here in the studio once again. Randy is out with the Toby Hall Charity Golf Tournament. So you've been listening to me, and now we get to welcome, we have the head coach from the Tampa Bay Rowdies, Stuart Campbell, for the second week of our Rowdies Minutes. So head coach, Stuart Campbell. Coach, welcome to the program. How are you doing this week?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you.
First off, before we get into all the rowdy stuff, I am a big soccer fan, so I follow a lot of the big leagues around the world, and obviously with the British Premier League going on and looking at your background, I have to ask you, considering when you were playing for Leicester City and the team they were then, and seeing what they're able to do nowadays at the top of the Premier League, just what are your thoughts on the growth of that team, and would you ever have expected something like this from a fairly young team when it comes to BPL competitorship?
No, as I said, from a former player of Leicester City, I'm absolutely delighted and proud, associated with the team. Obviously, they're exceeding all expectations, but I believe they're at the top of the Premier League on merit. The soccer that they're playing is, in my opinion, it's the best in the country, and I really do hope that they can continue that and get a little bit of luck regarding injuries and suspensions. And I firmly believe they've got a fantastic chance of winning the Premier League.
Very, very cool to see what they've done actually going into this season. 5,000-1 underdogs to win the league. Just
I know. I wish I'd put a couple of pounds on that. I'd be, you'd make a few pounds. But no, like I said, it's a fairy tale. I'm sure all the neutral soccer football fans, I'm sure they're all absolutely willing Leicester City to win. As I said, I definitely am. They're not up there by luck. It's through pure hard work. You look at the way they play, the speed they play, but most importantly, the work ethic. It's not just all about pretty football. It's first and foremost, they outrun the opposition. They win their individual battles, and then they go on to win the team battle. And it's been a breath of fresh air for me to watch them be so successful.
Yeah, I just have one name that I have to say for everybody out there who might not be familiar. Look up Vardy.
Yeah, he obviously gets all the headlines, because, and rightly so to a certain extent, because he's a goal scorer and he's been fantastic. As I said, any young boy or girl that wants to have a future in not just professional soccer, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, look him up, because his story is a real fairy tale. Look at his background. He didn't actually become a professional until very late on in terms of age-wise, and he just goes to prove that if you keep believing and you keep working hard, you'll get your chance and you'll get your rewards. And he's gone from playing non-league, that's semi-professional soccer in the UK, to being a leading goal scorer and playing for the English national team in a matter of years. So it's a real inspiring story how he's made it and how he's been so successful, and he bases it all on hard work and never giving up.
Absolutely, and a lot of hard work can be said that you've gone through, because you were actually a player for a long time, and then you came here to the Tampa Bay area. You were actually playing for the Rowdies starting in 2012, and then as time went on, you went from player to player coach. And now, August of last year, you were named the head coach. So if you could take us briefly through that transition from player into the player coach and now full-time head coach, how does something like that happen? What's the process? And especially that player coach dynamic, how did that opportunity, those opportunities come to you? And how has that led to your head coaching philosophy going into this season?
Yeah, fortunately, I was lucky enough to be a professional soccer player in the UK for the best part of about 15, 16 years. And then as I started getting towards my 30s, I started taking my UEFA coaching badges, because the older you get, you start to see things slightly different. And I felt that I wanted to move into the coaching side. But you find with a lot of athletes, they either try and stay in the game, whether that's from a coaching perspective or make the switch over to doing media work. And I wanted to go down the coaching path. So from my late 20s on, I started, like I said, taking my coaching qualifications, and that lets you look at things slightly differently. So I've done that, and then the family and I, we used to visit the US and Florida in particular on vacation. So we wanted to come over here and live and work. And fortunately, I got that opportunity with the Tampa Bay Rowdies to come over, firstly as a player coach, and then secondly as a full-time assistant coach.
So what's been the hardest transition going from a player going from a European-style game to coming over here in an American style game, going from a player to a coach? Has there any sort of difficult transition that's been sort of taken some getting used to, or is it something that's come very naturally?
No, obviously, when you transition, the playing aspect was obviously slightly different, as you'd expect, going to a different country. But the actual system, the structure behind the scenes in U.S. soccer and U.K. soccer, it's completely different. So I was fortunate with Terry and Lee that they were sort of there, and Rick to obviously guide me in the right direction regarding how the actual setup and the structure works over here. And it takes a little while to get used to, so that's where I was fortunate as an assistant to be under them guys that I just mentioned. It gave me the opportunity to learn the system, if you like. And then when I was given the opportunity to become the head coach, you're pretty well prepared.
Now, in your opinion, what has been the biggest factor contributing to the growth of soccer, especially in the United States? In this area, we have Orlando City that now has an MLS team. We have the Rowdies who have been here for a little bit, and they continue to grow and do big things. It's almost like there's a little bit of this resurgence. We had the teams of yore, but now it's like there's this resurgence for soccer. What has contributed the most to this growth of soccer in the United States?
I think first it started off with the success of the national teams, the U.S. men's national team and the U.S. women's national team. I think obviously the success that they had in World Cup and in Olympics, I think that probably triggered it all off. And then obviously the TV coverage that's on offer nowadays, it's as good as anywhere you'll get in the world in regards to how you can follow the English Premier League games, you can follow La Liga, you can watch games from just about all over the world. So I think that's a big, big part. And also because of that, it's a generation thing that the younger kids now are grown up wanting to play soccer. And just in I've been here almost 4 years, and the growth that I've seen, it's been absolutely phenomenal, and I fully expect it to continue. As you just referenced, all the there seems to be soccer clubs popping up all over the place, and that's only good for the game.
Now, with that growth and that, especially that media exposure for the MLS teams, there's a real opportunity for the Rowdies this season, especially with this preseason tournament, because we've been able to get a lot of this exposure coming in from the preseason tournament and playing DC United, the Philadelphia Union, and Montreal Impact over the next 3 weekends. So how excited are you and the team to be able to play some of these larger teams in the country coming down here to play at L. Lang Stadium?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the way the Rowdies organization is ran, the way it's structured, we're always going to get good exposure because we do things in the right manner from top to bottom. So it's going to be good for us to play against the team that you just mentioned. It's going to be a good test for the players because obviously physically the teams that are coming to play, they're a couple of weeks ahead of us in pre-season due to the different start times of their season in comparison to ours. So it's going to be good for us to go out there. It's going to be tough physically and mentally. But it'll be a good opportunity for us to gauge where we are regarding our fitness levels, our playing levels, and also it'll be good for the public to come and watch some very entertaining games of soccer.
One last question before you go. I do want to talk a little bit specifically about Freddie Adu and tomorrow night's game, because there's an interesting dynamic. Freddie was a big name around the time he was going to be going to college, and he was a big name for younger players. We were able to relate to him because he was sort of our age, and then he was thrust into the limelight. He ends up traveling a little bit, but he ended up playing his first MLS game with DC United, who you guys will be playing tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at L. Lang. So, have you had a chance to talk to Freddie about specifically this game, or is this sort of just one of those things where it's just another game?
No, it's a big game for all the players. They're all really looking forward to it because they've worked extremely hard for the previous 2 weeks. A lot of it's been fitness-based. Starting this week, we will start to introduce the ball a lot more. So every single player is looking forward to the game, and everybody's hopeful that they'll get some game time.
Well, Coach Campbell, thank you very much for your time. Very much looking forward to coming out and covering all the games for the Rowdies this season. This is going to be a big preseason. Everybody needs to take advantage of the fact that we have a lot of quality soccer that's going to be happening at Outlang Stadium over the season. So thank you very much, Coach, for your time today, and look forward to having you back on the program in the future.
Great. Thanks for having me, and look forward to catching up with you at a later date.
Thank you very much. Coach Campbell, everybody, head coach from the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And I have been looking forward to this season ever since I found out that we were going to be covering the Rowdies pretty much every game. We have the credentials. We're going to be covering them. I love the atmosphere that you get. Even though Al Lang was a baseball field for so long, they made the conversion so that it's a soccer field all the time. And you still have the stadium structure of the baseball field, though. So you go and the Rowdies fan base, they're there in force in their get-ups with the drums, singing the chants. It's a really, really fun atmosphere to go to. As I said, was harping on today, we have tomorrow night's game at 7 o'clock against DC United. So make sure you get your tickets for Al Lang. Let's see. I'm looking up the prices. Trying to find them, at least. There we go. They're up to, depending on where you're going, they're up to $20. So definitely affordable. There's no reason why you shouldn't go, because it's a lot of fun to go to. Even might want to try to sneak in a little Valentine's Day present of a pair of tickets or something like that. So head on down to Al Lang this weekend. Plenty of other games throughout the rest of the preseason. We have, what else do we have going on? We have the Lightning. They have made it was a little bit of a slow start during the season, and it's really, really good to see how strong they've come on recently. They went on a very, very long run, it seemed like, where it was just win, win, win. Last couple games here, we had two losses at Ottawa and at Montreal. But we are coming into a home stretch. We have the Predators tonight, the Blues on Sunday, the Sharks next Tuesday, and then the Jets next Thursday. These are obviously all beatable teams, especially when everybody's clicking. This scoring streak that they had been on, three goals, four goals, five goals, six goals, couple times six goals. The cylinders are starting to hit really, really well. And it's sort of mid-season where we are getting towards the later part of it. So that's obviously going to be the most important thing, is making sure that as we head to the end of the season, getting ready for that playoff push, being able to solidify a good seeding, because they will make the playoffs. I think that's a fairly good assumption. And obviously looking forward to postseason hockey. That's one of the best times of the year. You can't argue with that. So go to Facebook, knockoutradio.com. Send us a message saying you want to register for the Amsoil Arena Cross Motocross tickets for next Saturday. You've been listening to Talking Sports. Hit us up on Twitter at Knockout Radio, at KOEGS, knockoutradio.com. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
A deadly high school shooting, the FBI looking at a restaurant attack. I'm Ann Cates. Two 15-year-old girls are dead following a shooting today at Independence High School in Glendale, Arizona. Tracy Breeden of the Glendale Police Department.
What I really want to get out there is, one, we don't believe there's any outstanding suspects. These two young women were found next to each other. There was a weapon found beside them.
Authorities don't know what led to the shooting. The FBI has joined the investigation into a machete attack at a restaurant in Columbus, Ohio, that left several people injured and the suspect dead. Correspondent Evan Perez says the probe will determine whether there's a link to terrorism.
He has a criminal background, including some drug arrests. We were told that they have not made any determination yet that this is terrorism, but it is something that they're investigating.
A big rally today on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gaining 220 points, the NASDAQ up 39, the S&P up by 24 points. I'm Ann.